Welcome to episode 1077 of the Geek News Central podcast. It's Monday, November 16th. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Support the show today at geeknewscentral.com/insider or just paypal.me/geeknews. You can always pick up Ohana gear at cafepress.com/Ohana store. Hey everyone, welcome to Geek News Central. I got a great show lined up for you today. Give a warm welcome to the Ohana and new listeners of the show. Thanks for checking us out for the very first time if you are. And if you are, we want you to visit geeknewscentral.com to subscribe to the show and newsletter. You can do that right on the website again at geeknewscentral.com. If you visit Geek News Central Daily, you're going to see all of our great content. Of course, I'm going to be covering some of that today during the show. And of course, I'm available via email at geeknews@gmail.com, or you can just send me a tweet at Geek News. You can follow on Google Plus or Facebook. You can watch this show when we're back in Honolulu on the Roku and Apple TV. The older Apple TV, but I'm currently on travel, so this is an audio-only show day. So if you have an Amazon Echo, you can tell Alexa to play the recent edition of the Geek News Central podcast. You can catch a show on Stitcher, on Blueberry.com, and of course over at iTunes. Partner shows at Geek News Central include No Better Than Average with Jacob and Jeff, Health Tech Weekly with Jamie Davis, The Gadget Professor with Mr. Don Bain, The Elder Divide with Todd Ani, and of course, we got the Pro Gear site that is basically taken care of by the GNC team. Lots of stuff about gear and gadgets for pro audio and video recording. The longest running continuous sponsor of a podcast, and that, of course, is GoDaddy. And we want to thank GoDaddy for being a sponsor here of this show. We want you to get over to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. All my promo codes are there for great deals, whether it be saving on a domain name, which you can get for 99 cents, or if you're looking to pick up a server or virtual dedicated server over at GoDaddy, you can save 30% on that purchase. Or if you're picking up a standard hosting account, or a managed WordPress host, or whether it be a website builder, if you're looking to get up running fast as a business, I've got dollar deals. Basically, it's $1 a month for 12 months, includes a free domain. You can use all the promo codes to mix and match and find the best deal for the products that you're picking up at GoDaddy.com. GoDaddy is a great way to essentially build your online presence. If you're looking to expand your business, if you're looking to launch a business, if you're looking to start a blog, if you're looking to start a podcast, GoDaddy has the tools you need to get started today and having and building an online presence. Don't forget, there's a lot more domains beyond .com. There's all the new top-level domains. A very popular one right now is .show. So if you're thinking about doing a podcast, you can actually come up with a your.show domain. You name it. There's a full list of domains that are available over at GoDaddy. You are really going to have an ease to basically find what you need for getting started with your own online website. So anyway, get over to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy and pick up a GoDaddy product today. Hey everyone, just want to kind of give you guys a little bit of a... I'm doing this show in the middle of the day, and the reason is I've got dinner appointments tonight. Things are concluding where I'm at. So it's 1:30 in the afternoon on the Eastern Seaboard, and it's very weird to do a show with the sun up. And I'm in the middle of a bunch of stuff going on strategically for Raw Voice Blueberry right now. We just announced an update to PowerPress, our flagship podcasting plugin that's used by over 50,000 podcasters. We've integrated Clamor. So Clamor came out with a plugin that will work with PowerPress and basically allows folks that have Clamor accounts or those that want to share Clamor links be able to do that. for podcasters can put that on their pages. So we're excited about that. And matter of fact, as I'm doing this show, I'm seeing my message system that is basically saying, hey, the folks over at Clamor want to talk from Mackenzie over at the team. And she's going to have to wait an hour here while we do the show. But talked a little bit last show on the changes to the show format, talking about we're going to do listener links at the beginning. We're going to be talking about Geek News Central post as well on every show. And trying to, for a better, and I missed this on the last show, is come up with a title for the show at the end of the show. So hopefully I will remember to do that in the new format today. But I'm also looking for folks that are willing to contribute album art, 1400 by 1400 pixels, PNG or JPEG, if you want to submit album art for the show. And it doesn't have to be for a specific episode, but you can be as creative as you want. And I'd love to be able to build up an inventory of 50 to 100 different, basically, images that we can use an ID3 tag for each episode. It's been well known for a long time that shows that have unique album art every single episode have a much, much higher subscription rate. So that's kind of the goal there, is to make sure I'm employing all best practices in the podcasting space. As well, what else have I got in here? Oh, Sam has been working diligently on the GNC app. We figured a couple of things out. He sent me a new version to review last night. I looked at it. I'm totally wowed. We're close. We're really, really close. There's some stuff I have to do on the website to finalize for publication. But I think in the next couple of days, we're going to be able to submit to iTunes and Google Play. And within a couple of weeks, we should have an app for GNC, and it's going to be more than just a podcast app. It's going to have blog entries. It's going to have special media stuff. It's going to have a link to our sponsors, information on how you can become an insider. It's really going to be an all-in-one app that I'm going to be very pleased with. And then I'm going to try to work with Sam to do a tutorial on how this app was created through our partner AppPressor, and so the other podcasters can understand really how easy it is to create an application. And it really was a lot easier than I thought. It just does, you know, I'm fortunate Sam was a super fan here to be able to go through and mess with it and get a couple of clarifying points from the AppPressor folks. And I'm really excited about being able to introduce this and show this app off as a flagship app that will be able to have you guys access if you so desire. Don't worry, the show's always going to be available primarily through the podcast iOS app, and when Google Play Music Store launches, you're going to be able to get it over there in their podcast section. So, you know, we're not going to change any methods, just in addition to. And what we're really going to find out, this is where the kicker is here. We're going to find out how many people actually use a podcast app. I've said for many years that most podcast listeners are using a single app to listen to most of their shows. They're not using one-off apps very much. But anyway, excited to see what happens there with this audience and the new app. But I'm going ahead and get into the content here. We're going to start right off with a listener submitted article that talks about an article that's over on malwarebytes.org talking about a scam in the wake of the App Store slip-up. And I don't know if you're aware of this, but last week, Mac users began to have problems opening apps downloaded from the App Store. This caused messages that the apps were damaged and would be need to be re-downloaded from the App Store. It turned out the problem was an expired cryptographic certificate at Apple, which is used to verify the legitimacy of these apps. Apple apparently didn't renew in time, and when it expired, the App Store apps failed. Some people, including me, never even noticed as the certificate was quickly renewed, but the problem really didn't affect all apps. Still, the problem really shouldn't happen in the first place. But I want to thank the listener for that link. Also, Dare, hey man, you sent me an email with a link, Michael. And I'm sorry, I called you by your last name. Michael, you sent me a link. You sent me an email with no link. I tried finding it, the article based on the subject title. Resend me that one, okay, my friend? Thanks so much. Also, over on Geek News Central, the team's been real, real busy here. We had a bunch of CES stuff come in along with some new stuff. But if you're a gamer, Main Gear has unveiled Rush. It's a grown-up gaming desktop. Now, Main Gear is an award-winning PC system integrator of custom gaming solution. And again, it's announced the ability of Rush, an elegantly brutish game desktop featuring a tempered glass body, origami wiring, advanced cooling design, and state-of-the-art components. Main Gear's Rush showcases the elegant side of gaming desktops through a tempered glass chassis highlighted by ultra-clean lines. So if you are a gamer and you're looking for a slick system to have sitting on your desk or to be displaying off with lots of power, this thing delivers blazing fast speeds with an Intel Extreme Edition Haswell E or Skylake processor, pumps out spectacular graphics of a 3 NVIDIA GeForce GTX Titan X. And man, I'm going to tell you, those Titan X processors, oh, those bad boys are absolutely brutish. Or you can get it with an AMD Radeon R9 Fury X GPU. And of course, they've got 64 gigs of memory, 6 hard drive bays. It's all on SSDs. In addition, gamers claiming more can get the most out of the system with Main Gear's Redline, a factory-tested overclocking service that safely pushes the system to the max. So if you're a gamer, you want to check out this Main Gear Rush system. Also on GNC, Vuzix has awarded 8 CES 2016. Vuzix, V-U-Z-I-X, has been awarded 8 CES 2016 Innovation Awards. And Vuzix is a leader and supplier of video eyewear and smart glasses products in the consumer enterprise and entertainment markets. Vuzix is pleased to announce that it has received 8 International CES Innovation Awards. That's huge. Usually companies get 1 or 2, but the company's next generation waveguide-based wearable eyewear, the M3000 Smart Glasses, takes a hands-free computing to another level, and we're going to be looking at these bad boys at CES, but big deal here. So this wearable headgear is getting to the point where it's going to be a much bigger player in the space. Ween, W-E-E-N, is a CES 2016 Innovation Awardee honoree, and what Ween has developed is what they're calling the Life Responsive Smart Thermostat. It's paired with your smartphone. It raises, lowers the temperature in your home instantaneously depending on your comings and going. It models your home's energy profile on how fast the house cools itself down and how fast it heats it up. And it's based on weather conditions, current forecasted all by itself. And it really does smart learning to be able to figure out, okay, it's colder outside. It's going to take a little longer to warm the house out. It's using detection results to depend on where you're at. This is going to be big, kind of a little bit of a, I'm not saying artificial intelligence, it just uses data to determine patterned living and takes account for your absence. Now, the question I have on this one is, if I leave the house, now, of course, I'm in Hawaii, I don't have a thermostat, but if you do and you put one of these in your homes and you leave the home and your kids are still there, is it smart enough to keep the temperature up? Or is it going to drop the temperature and freeze your kids out? That is the question that I want to ask these folks at CES. If you're a pro skier, yes, skiing season, InMotion is a startup that specializes in the design and production of wearable smart systems, and they've introduced the Ski Airbag Vest. And they named a CES 2016 Innovation Awardee in wearable technology. And basically, this is an airbag for those of you that are professional skiers. I could see if I was going to wear one of these and go skiing, this thing would be deployed about 3 seconds after I stepped onto the snow. But we'll get a chance to look at it at CES. Again, it's designed for pro skiers, people that aren't falling down very much like I would be. But anyway, kind of cool. Airbag. That's actually for people with like my situation with bad backs and hardwareness, this would be a product that if we were going to go try to ski, that would be good to have. Now, I wonder how many recharge cylinders they would send me. Bam, bam, bam. This thing would be every 15 seconds I'm falling down. Our cardio-based is named the CS Innovation Award, or it's Cardio, K-A-R-D-I-O, is a multi-award-winning digital health company. It's announced that the cardio-base is a wireless smart scale and body composition analyzer. It combines intelligent features and an intuitive user experience to power users in in-depth knowledge of what the numbers on the scale really mean. It measures body weight, body mass index, BMI, muscle mass, body fat percentage, and water and bone composition. I wonder how they really do the BMI without floating you. Usually BMI requires you to be in a tub and they do these offset stuff. And stepping on a scale, I just wonder if they really are able to accurately come up with BMI. I just don't know. Hey, I should have mentioned at the beginning of the show, and I apologize that I didn't. It's based upon how I had the new stuff lined up, but my heart goes out to those folks in Paris that lost their lives, and the folks in France for this this terrorist attack that happened. It just so sad. It is a situation that I don't think, well, let's not say situation. I don't think any of us are surprised anymore at these type of an attacks. We've been real lucky here in the United States that our Department of Homeland Security and other agencies have been able to really prevent something like this happening from a Al-Qaeda, ISIS, ISIL, whatever you want to call it, type of group. But I just, and I posted some stuff on Facebook over the past couple of days that, we have to, as a country, decide at what point are we willing to protect some of these soft targets, movie theaters, public arena events like football games and basketball games and any place where a group of people gather, at what point do we decide? Because most of these events and most of those big soft targets are gun-free zones. And I know that, very easily within the show, we probably have a 50-50% mix of people that are for more gun control and people that are more for, on the other side of the fence that are about protecting gun rights and so forth. And I really don't want to get into the political conversation, although there's really no way to avoid it on this one. But at what point do we decide, and the thing is it going to take a Paris-like incident? We've already had our 9/11 where aircraft were used. But what happens when a homegrown terrorist or a cell or people that have immigrated in on the basis that they're refugees, when one of these individuals or a group of these individuals are able to perpetuate an attack similar to Paris in the United States? You can't protect everything all the time. And the police and FBI and Department of Homeland Security and TSA, they can't be everywhere. What point do you think the discussion will change where citizens that are legal and of a sound mind are able to, for a better word, a concealed carry or open carry in these types of venues? I don't think we're at that point yet. I think most people would say no. We don't want people that are have a concealed weapon or an open carry weapon to be in these venues. And I'm not going to argue one way or the other on this, but would have some armed citizens help thwart this, or would have If the perpetrators had known that there was going to be armed citizens at this event and they were really kind of take with it, they went ahead and attacked anyway. Could have someone helped in this situation? Well, you know, you're talking about folks that walked in with AK-47s and shotguns and they were essentially long rifles and started taking people out, sadly, apparently using grenades and suicide vests. And there's, you know, there's maybe not a lot that you can do to slow some of those, slow some of that carnage. But I would imagine if just one or two people would have had a handgun, you know, when people start shooting back at you, there has a tendency to slow people down and people duck. Now, you run the risk of innocent people being hit by crossfire, of course. So I don't know. I think it's a complicated situation, and you know, France has very heavy anti-gun laws, and their people really can't protect themselves. So you know, it's sad. I don't know what can be done, if anything. You know, our hearts and prayers can go out to the people of France, and you know, a lot of people talk a lot of smack about the French. But I'm going to tell you, there's a couple French airmen that I still owe beers to that, you know, during the early days of the Afghanistan conflict, I was real appreciative of their work one evening. So let's just leave it at that. But I didn't want to get too deep into this, and I got deeper than I probably should have. But, you know, and this is not a political show, but it is a topic of the times and probably all thinking about it. And I probably won't, if you send an email to the show about this topic, I probably won't read it on the show, unless it's, super compelling. And I don't know. I don't know what to think at this point, but it should be nice to be able to have a way to fight back. I'm just tired of people being, innocent people being able to be just slaughtered like this. It's not good. All right, back into the tech stuff. Hey, Microsoft's plan to port Android apps to Windows is reportedly on hold. So this is an interesting move. You know, earlier this year, in April, Microsoft announced it would allow developers to bring the reworked Android and iOS apps over to Windows. And that was, you know, big news. But while the company continues to work on porting tools for iOS, there doesn't appear much movement on the Android front. And is now believed that Microsoft's plan to port Android apps over to Windows has been put on hold. Which makes you go, so maybe they're just going to focus on iOS. That's a curious move. Big news out of Apple today. Tim Cook says that Apple will not create Converge MacBook and iPad. This is great news. Cook denied that the death of computers such as the Mac was imminent, said that there would be a market for such traditional personal computers. There would not be, or said there would be, a market for traditional personal computers for the foreseeable future. And I quote, he says, "We feel strongly that consumers are not really looking for Converge Mac and iPad," said Cook, "because what that would wind up doing, or what we're worried would happen, is that neither experience would be good as the customer wants. So we want to make the best tablets in the world and the best Mac in the world, and putting those two together would not achieve either. You'd begin to compromise in different ways." So this is big. Big news. Really, really big. And I think they're smart here in this. And many of us were worried that it was converging very, very quickly and things were going to change. But at this point, that's not the case. So good on Tim Cook and Apple. All right, the iPad Pro. I've been talking to some folks that had one. Haven't heard any feedback from any of you yet. So the iPad Pro keyboard, is a bit of a quandary, and, the folks are talking about the smart connector being an issue in that there, the iPad Pro has to be, tilted a certain way to connect with that smart connector. And there's really no, for better words, there's no other options. It's one angle only. So they're saying if you're going to go out and buy an iPad Pro and you're going to buy a keyboard And if you want the flexibility being able to have different angles, it may be smart at this time to just go with a Bluetooth keyboard so you can have a variety of angles instead of counting on that smart connector. I think it makes a lot of sense at this point. The only bad thing is then you have two devices you have to charge, but that's the deal on it. I'm thinking, you know, if you're going to have a iPad Pro and you're going to use a keyboard, why don't you just get a MacBook Air? You know, come on. You know, I don't see, if I'm going to buy an iPad Pro, I don't see using it with a keyboard. Maybe, I don't know. I'm still on the fence whether I'm going to get one. I'm leaning towards it just for functionality, being able to test and talk to you guys about it. But it's a lot of money. It's like $1,100 for the big one. So maybe that'll go on my Christmas wish list. I don't know. Switching gears here completely. Pure copy fraud. Anne Frank Foundation is trying to pretend her father wrote her diary to extend its copyright. So the Anne Frank Foundation is huge. They make a lot of money off Anne Frank book sales, as you would imagine. But they are trying to extend the copyright because Anne Frank has died just about 70 years ago. And copyright on those works are set to expire very, very shortly. And so they're trying to make this change. So we'll see what happens here. There's a big fight going on by a couple of different organizations that does Anne Frank work. So just goes to show you, copyright law is totally screwed up. And but I can understand the foundations want to try to extend the copyright, even though it should really move into the public domain at this point. But court battles will ensue, I am sure. Hey, that Google engineer who has been talking about the USB Type-C cables that we talked about in the previous article, well, he's actually calling out a specific company. He says that you should not buy OnePlus USB Type-C cables. He says they are not rated correctly. There may be a hazard based upon charging amperages and another thing. So he's actually going a little bit deeper here and calling these folks out in a big way. So just pay attention out there if you're going to be buying any USB Type-C connectors. John Oliver, a few days ago, explained how FanDuel and DraftKings are rigged to rip you off in a expose on HBO. And I'm going to let you guys watch the video, but here's the quandary that a lot of podcasters are up against. There's a lot of podcasters that are running advertisements for FanDuel. They've been under a lot of scrutiny. Are you listening to any podcasts that are advertising FanDuel right now? And if you are, have you questioned why the podcasters are still running advertising with them? It is an interesting dilemma, isn't it? If they're paid for advertising and they have problems, you know, how do you mitigate that with, you know, the story that's going around about them right now? I think it's very, very difficult, to be honest with you. All right, over in PC World, Netgear has added an indoor model to its Arlo home security lineup. It's called the Arlo Q. It delivers 1080p video, two-way audio, and includes 7 days of free cloud storage for up to 5 cameras. So that's pretty cool. So this $230 Arlo Q is shipping in December. Will capture video, again, up to 1080p. Cameras also fitted with infrared LEDs for night vision. Unlike the original Arlo, which runs on batteries and powers up only when motion detected, the Arlo Q run on AC power and remain active 24/7. So you can have up to 5 cameras, maximum 1 gig of data before it starts rolling off. It's a big difference between Nest because, you know, Nest, you have to pay yearly to maintain your storage and maintain your 24/7 library of data. So very, very interesting. All right, over in ZDNet, FBI is denying paying $1 million to unmasked Tor users, but here's the rub. The accusation that the FBI paid university researchers $1 million to break anonymous browser service is inaccurate, according to the FBI. But they use language that is a little bit odd. So they say the story is inaccurate, but they don't deny actually paying $1 million. So this story continues. More court documents will be revealed, I am sure. We'll continue to follow this. But it is apparent the FBI is using very, you know, basically it's some language that allows them to come back later and say, well, we didn't pay them exactly for this. We paid them $1 million for that. Kind of a curious move here. And by the statement by the FBI, link will be up in the show notes. Also over on Lifehacker, if you've got a new Apple TV, there's lots of tips and tricks available, some shortcuts. So there are some changes from one device to the other. So I have that link up in the show notes for you to go over. And you can add multiple Apple IDs to your Apple TV. This is cool. So if you have multiple people in your household, each with their own iTunes account, my wife has one, I have one, my son and my daughter have one. The Apple TV can support several different Apple IDs for buying separate apps, services, movies, and TV shows. So that's kind of cool. If your TV sports HDMI CEC, the Apple TV remote can control your TV as well. So if you've got a newer TV that supports that. What else? Anyway, there's a whole bunch of stuff here. And they talk about it, get more of Siri and the system settings and so forth. But again, link will be in the show notes for you. All right, if you're an Android user, Gmail app Security Hole lets you pretend to be anyone online. A nasty bug in the email app allows senders to pose as anyone they wish, opening door to a successful phishing campaign. And I'm reading through this bug. I'm like, wow, that's interesting. So you can send an email from your current account, but make it appear like it came from someone else. And then when they look at the details, it doesn't look like it's been phished. It looks like a legitimate email. Whereas if you reply, it actually comes back to me versus the account that looks like it's been phished. And Google is basically saying that it's not a security issue. So maybe this article will get a little bit of attention from the Android Gmail folks. All right. Anyway, link will be up in the show notes. Over on BGR, BGR.com, cord cutting isn't about saving money. It's about having choices. I think we all agree with that. But it talks about folks that, you know, does some comparison on how much people are saving from cutting their cable bill to buying all the extra add-ons, whether it be HBO Go, whether it be the ABC stuff or Hulu or all the different variety of services. But it does show that people are saving right now anywhere between $20 and $30 on basically trying to replace their cable connection with all these extra services. But, you know, $30 a month, that's, you know, to a lot of people, that's a significant amount of money. You know, maybe that's a little more storage on a data bill or a little more speed on an internet connection. So I think it's... I think it's worthy looking into for sure. All right, over at Engadget, and this is an issue that I've had here. Experts say phones need a bedtime mode to fix our sleep. You know, even though I put my phone in a do not disturb mode, if it's facing up, if there's some sort of activity, oftentimes the screen will light up. You know, it'll light up, and then in a few seconds later, it'll go dark. You know, I solve that by putting my phone face down, wherever it may be. But they're saying that the light coming off mobile devices and the screen lighting up because of an action or something is definitely causing people issues when they are sleeping. And they go into this deep detail of this. So they say that even though we've got a do not disturb mode on our phones, which I failed to turn on the other night, had a guy call me needing podcast help at it was ridiculous, in the middle of the night, 11:30 Honolulu Standard Time, 4:30 local Eastern Standard Time, and he kept calling about 10 times, and I had forgotten to flip the switch, and so anyway, it ended up in an annoying phone call at the middle of the night. My fault completely for not setting my phone up correctly, but the what's really happening here then is that we're already sleeping crazy hours and, you know, looking at devices before we go to bed, and it's not all that as healthy. So experts say phones need a bedtime mode to fix our sleep, and I agree completely. And they got some science to back it up, so a link will be up in the show notes on that. The folks at ZDNet are actually promoting on Windows 10 telemetry. And I think it's interesting how they call it telemetry. And they're saying that worries about Windows 10 tracking overblown and providing data on crashes helps everyone. But they go on to say, kind of in a minor mode, it's also understandable why some Windows 10 users are reluctant to share. I think it's we're reluctant to share because we don't know how much data is actually being sent back to Windows or back to Microsoft. And people are mad on home editions of Windows 10 where they can't shut anything off. I don't know. I don't think it's slowed down adoption. And I think most people aren't really aware what's going on with Windows 10. But it's, you know, when I read this article from ZDNet, I was like, did Microsoft pay them to write this article to promote people turning on the data logging and telemetry? You know, I don't know who to trust anymore on the news cycle. And this looks like an opinion piece, but it definitely could be a puff piece. It could be a puff paid. They don't say it, but it could be a paid puff piece by Microsoft. I don't know. It they know they've lost the PR battle on that from techies, but it is curious that they have, you know, they're kind of taking this stance that people should be allowing this data to go back to Microsoft. All right, Apple's going to pull the plug on Beats Music on November 30th. The Beats Music service will be silenced forever in favor of Apple Music. So if you're a Beats fan, it's going away. Cox is defending the BitTorrent protocol. You heard me say that correctly. And the reason it is, it's because they're getting sued. As it stands, Cox is currently being sued by BMG and Roundhill Music, who claims that the ISP failed to terminate the accounts that reused the pirate content. Recently, the ISP submitted a motion to the court asking them to ban statements and evidence in which it would basically equate BitTorrent to privacy. According to Cox, plaintiffs are free to try to prove that specific BitTorrent users on Cox's network actually infringe plaintiffs' copyrights, but the court should preclude plaintiffs from relying on mere innuendo that BitTorrent inherently allows individuals to infringe plaintiffs' copyright. Then they added, Cox disputes plaintiffs' characterization of BitTorrent, that it is demonstrably not true that there are no legitimate uses for BitTorrent. I think this is the first time we have ever had a ISP stand up for BitTorrent. Interesting they do it when they're getting sued, yeah? very, very cool. All right. Hey, Intel's fastest chip ever will be appearing in supercomputers next year. Check this out. The 72-core Xeon Phi chip will deliver performance breakthroughs. I would think so. 72 cores. Intel hasn't provided details on the first supercomputer with Knight's Landing. The U.S. Department of Energy, however, said that the chip will be used in Cori, a 9,300-core supercomputer that will be deployed in the later half of 2016 at the National Energy Research Scientific Computing Center in Berkeley, California. Apparently, more than 50 manufacturers will ship system using Knight's Landing, said Charlie, oh my gosh, Wishpard, Vice President of Data Center Group and General Manager of the HPC Group at Intel. So this is just a massive, massive processor. Knight's Landing has 16 gigs of on-package MC DRAM. I don't even know what MC DRAM means. In which modules are stacked, it offers 5 times more bandwidth than the emerging DDR4 memory technology. Intel claims that the memory is 5 times more powerful efficient, 3 times denser than GDDR5, which is used on graphics cards. So a little bit of details about what this thing's going to do. But 72 cores, so is that going to be a monster or what? Hey, over on motherboard.vice.com, they're reporting that Walmart's $10 smartphone has better specs than the original iPhone. So Walmart is selling a track phone branded LG smartphone that costs $9.82. It ships free if your online order tops $50. Boy, oh boy. Now, this thing runs an outdated version of Android. It may make it vulnerable for hackers, but for $10, users get access to Google Play App Store and so forth. But It's got a 3.8 inch display. But anyway, this is this $10 phone has more power than the original iPhone. I would love to see this. If any of you are flying internationally and you go into Singapore, there's a life-size X-Wing parked at the Singapore airport. So if you're going through Terminal 3, you might notice this giant Rebel fighter. I guess this is precludes the Star Wars movie. But this thing is a monster. I have no idea where it came from or who's developed it, but they had stormtroopers and all kinds of stuff during its unveiling. So very, very cool stuff. All right, this is something that makes me really excited. GeekWire.com is reporting that Microsoft and Code.org will use Minecraft to teach kids the basics of computer programming. Now, we heard about this a little bit already, but they built a tutorial that students across the world can use during Code.org's annual Hour of Code event in December. Microsoft knows how much kids love the wildly popular game, with a company bought through its $2.5 billion Mojang acquisition in 2014, so it volunteered Minecraft for the cause. A tutorial, which is available now for free, walks students through 14 levels. It looks and feels like the Minecraft game that kids are so familiar with, but they have to use basic computer science principles to play. Students click and drag box to form a string of commands. They click run, and the characters carry out the actions. And this is going to be like a mandatory Christmas stuff during Christmas vacation for my son, my youngest son. I'm going to say, hey, here is your Christmas assignments. Let's get you through these 14 levels. I'm excited about this. Great way to kind of introduce coding to kids. If you're an Uber fan, Uber drivers can pick you up now when you're headed the same way. So for twice a day, if an Uber driver is leaving where he's like picking up passengers and heading towards the suburbs or heading home, he's allowed to set a destination where he's going. And if you're along his route, you can get a ride. So this, it feels going to help increase the number of Uber drivers and lower the amount of, you know, transit time, not necessarily lower the transit time, but lower the amount of transit time in which they're empty. So smart on Uber on that. We've talked a lot about video cards in this particular show, talked about some new ones that being announced, and we're talking about some that, but there's the next generation killer Hurricane Hunter is going to be armed with NVIDIA graphics chips. So the U.S. government's NOAA agency will build a new computer system that's boasting 960 NVIDIA Pascal GPUs. The chips company's VP of accelerated computing and CUDA inventor. Basically, they're building that didn't make any sense. The U.S. government's NOAA agency will build a new computer system boasted by 76 NVIDIA Pascal GPUs, according to Ian Buck, the chip company's VP of accelerated computing and CUDA inventor. Okay, there we go. But they're going to use this for weather prediction models. These GPUs are being used in video cards, are doing some incredible stuff. If you are want to do some high computational stuff, scientific modeling and all that stuff, and you've got the skills to tap the GPU cards, it's like having a supercomputer and a PC. It really, really is. It's quite amazing. So this is a, GPUs have allowed people to do things that weren't thought to even be possible for many, many years due to, the processing power of these video cards. So if it's something you've never been exposed to and you're a developer or you're a programmer or you're an engineer, you definitely want to look at this, this technology that's going on with the utilization of GPUs and video cards to do analytics of scientific data. Okay, I didn't even know Google had this, but Google's rewarding restaurant reviewers with 1 terabyte of storage. Apparently, they've got Google Local Guides, but apparently, if you do a couple of reviews on Google Local Guides, you'll be eligible to enter a contest to win a Nexus handset, And also, they're giving away storage to reviewers. I don't know what the actual, you know, what you have to do to qualify for this and what that storage really means. But, you're going to be awarded if you do, let me read here. While earning up to 49 points lets you early access to Google product betas. If, however, you can produce comprehensive reviews of 100 different locations, you'll be rewarded 1 terabyte of Google Drive storage. Oh, those that keep going and once they've hit that milestone will be given the chance to attend a local guide summit. Oh, so they're really trying to encourage people to submit stuff to local guides. So if you're sending stuff to Yelp, maybe you can dual post to this Google local guides. All right, Anonymous is threatening to track down Islamic State. So they've announced that they are now the new bad guys that they're going to go after. So we will see if Anonymous can do cyber attacks against ISIS or ISIL or not. All right, there's a good article over in ZDNet talking about the slowdown in PC sales and really why. Currently, there's more than 1 billion PCs that are over 3 years old with little reason to replace them. Moore's Law, combined with ever-increasing hardware availability, means that the days of needing to replace a PC every couple of years are long gone. I'm looking at this MacBook Pro I've got sitting here. I don't even know what generation it is. Let me look. Can I tell? Let me see about this Mac. It's, where's the little pop-up? How come it didn't come up? This is a 2011 model. It's a 17-inch model, early 2011. It's still a great machine. You know, and what are we, 4 years in on this machine or more? Granted, I don't use this machine only when I'm traveling and I use it as something else when I'm at home. But it's still a perfect computer. It's just no need to replace computers as often anymore. Moving on here. Good article about security. And if you're an IT guy, this article over in Computer World that you may want to read, talking about some of the new threats that are out. I won't go into details because it's really designed for the IT guy. And link will be up in the show notes on that. If you're still using Zune services, well, you know today Microsoft has turned off the lights. The Zune MP3 player will continue to function, but their internet connect features will not. Again, on November 15th, the company shut down all Zune-related services, except for the Zune podcast stuff is still working. That includes Zune Music Pass subscription program and the Zune Marketplace for buying MP3s. And, of course, they want you to switch. Well, they're going to be automatically switched to Groove Music Service. If you're thinking about buying a phone or buying an iPad, Verizon has resurrected activation fees. So if you want to get that new phone up on a mobile service, they're going to charge you $20. So they can't get enough money out of you otherwise, so they're going to continue to pull money out of your pocket. And finally today, New Horizons Pluto update. Basically, they've released a bunch of pictures, mountains, moons, and more. I have a link up to this article over on extremetech.com. All right, go back to contributors today. I do want to thank Lay, who submitted the Apple App Store expired certificates. I want to thank Michael for sending the email, but sorry, it did not make the... and basically, he says the title of this is, the subject is Rocket Without Fuel Makes Star Wars Travel Possible. I saw this story via Health Ranger on Twitter. Mars in 10 weeks, Moon in 4 hours. I Googled that, Michael, and there was the link that it found, I was unable to open. So if you have a link for me, send me that link. Also, I want to thank Brian. And Brian, thanks for being a super fan of the show. I do appreciate the words of encouragement that you sent over on the Google Plus. Now, don't forget, folks, there's a Geek News Central area on Google Plus you can hang out in. There's the Facebook page as well. You can follow me on Facebook, on Twitter. Really want you to be everywhere I am so we can all hang out and have a great time. By the way, Brian, I love your logo, man. It's beside your name. It's basically, for those of you, It's an apple with teeth trying to bite an Android. So a lot of fun. But that was the email that came into the show. I hope you guys had a good time today. I've been rushing through this. A lot of content in a hurry. I got sun in my face here in the window as we're fast approaching about 2:20 in the afternoon local on the East Coast. One more show here on the road and then back to the studio in Honolulu. I'm really looking forward to get back, but a lot of major announcements coming. This trip has been very, very productive. I'm under NDA on some of those, and we probably won't be able to announce until everything's completed. But lots of things happening. It's all good, folks. I'd be very reminisce if I was to tell you otherwise. But CES is forthcoming. If you're thinking we've done a good job in prior years on CES and want to help us out, again, it's $100, $150 per article to do that show. So I'm hoping if you come in with a contribution at paypal.me/geeknews, I definitely appreciate. All we need really is 200 of you to step up at $100 a piece, and we could man, it would be like I would be ecstatic to be able to not drain my company bank account. And again, this is all done by this is a podcast connect thing. This is my wife and I. This is not a Raw Voice paid endeavor. It is all out of pocket for Geek News Central, and based upon earnings that we do for with our sponsor GoDaddy. So really, there's a couple ways to support. Pick up a GoDaddy product or service, make a contribution. Those of you that are already insiders, thank you so much for your ongoing support of the show. I definitely appreciate it a lot, or I do. And anyway, I'm excited about the future of the show, and I got to get ramped up here for to go into Vegas. A lot to do over the next 7 weeks. We're only 7 weeks away. Isn't that incredible? But anyway, back to Honolulu on Friday, and back to the grind, I guess, for a better word. Everyone, thanks for being here. Again, email me, geeknews@gmail.com. You can follow me on Twitter @geeknews or on Facebook, Todd Cochran, or Google Plus as well. Just search for Geek News Central on Google. You'll definitely find all those links to all those variety of social media sites as well. Everyone, take care. We'll see you next time here on the Geek News Central podcast. Everyone, take care. Aloha.